Welcome to Next Day Prep, what we are watching tomorrow. We've got a lot to unpack after today's session. The market certainly felt heavy.
It really did. Geopolitical angst was the name of the game today. The major indices just couldn't build on yesterday's momentum and shifted lower. We saw President Trump leave the G7 summit abruptly, heading back to Washington to deal with an evolving Israel-Iran situation.
And those Truth Social posts, evacuate Tehran immediately. That definitely set a cautious tone right from the open.
Absolutely. Then, later in the afternoon, another post saying the U.S. knows where Iran's supreme leader is, an easy target, but they're not taking him out. At least, not for now. He added, our patience is wearing thin. You could just feel the de-risking accelerate.
No kidding. The S&P 500 slipped back below that key 6,000 level. And we saw the classic flight to safety, right? Treasuries and the dollar caught a bit.
Exactly. The two-year note yield settled down 2 basis points to 3.95%, and the 10-year yield dropped a significant 7 basis points to 4.39%. The U.S. dollar index, meanwhile, popped 0.8% to 98.76. Classic risk-off.
So how did the sectors hold up? Or perhaps not hold up?
Well, it was a sea of red. Every S&P 500 sector finished down, with the sole exception of energy, which managed a 1.0% gain. That was tracking WTI crude futures, which jumped about 2% to $73.27 a barrel. A nice reversal from Monday.
But the rest? Not so pretty. I saw healthcare took a beating, down 1.6%. What was driving that?
A few things there. Reports about stricter disclosure rules and tighter regulations on pharmaceutical advertising, plus a Senate Finance Committee proposal for larger Medicaid spending cuts than the House proposed. That weighed heavily. And Eli Lilly, LLY, down about 2%, got caught in that downdraft, even as it announced a $1 billion cash acquisition of Verve Therapeutics. VERV, by the way, rocketed up over 80% on that news.
Wow, quite the divergence there. And consumer discretionary also lagged, down 1.6% as well?
Yes, that was a double whammy. First, the weak retail sales report hit many components. Then, the home builders got slammed by an earnings miss and a disappointing outlook from Lennar. LEN was down about 4.5% in a really dour NAHB housing market index for June, which dropped to 32. That was well below the consensus of 36.
Oof. So, breadth figures must have been pretty ugly.
They were. Decliners led advancers by more than a 2-to-1 margin on both the NYSE and NASDAQ. And the CBOE Volatility Index, the VIX, jumped nearly 13% to 21.54. Definitely a more risk-averse tone.
Let's quickly touch on year-to-date. S&P 500 still holding onto a 1.7% gain, NASDAQ up 1.1%. But the DJIA is now negative 0.8% for the year. And the smaller caps are really struggling. S&P 400 down 3.4%. Russell 2000 down 5.7%.
That underperformance in small caps is definitely a theme. Now, speaking of that weak retail sales report you mentioned, it was pretty concerning. Retail sales declined 0.9% month over month in May, worse than the expected 0.6% drop. And April was revised lower, too.
And ex-autos?
Also a miss, down 0.3% month over month, versus an expected 0.1% gain. April's ex-autos reading was revised down to unchanged. It just paints a picture of a more cautious consumer, pulling back on goods. Interestingly, clothing and accessory store sales were up 0.8%, a surprising outlier. But otherwise, discretionary categories like electronics and food services saw spending retrench.
So this data probably fuels the Fed should cut rates soon. Argument, right?
You bet. And then there was industrial production, which also fell 0.2% in May, against expectations for a 0.1% rise. Capacity utilization dipped to 77.4%. The takeaway there is that manufacturing output was pretty stagnant, even with the pause on reciprocal tariffs. It points to slower economic growth and, you know, planning uncertainty from all this tariff talk.
Got it. And the NAHB housing market index we touched on, falling to 32 in June from 34 in May, just adds to that weaker economic picture.
Precisely. It's a tough macro backdrop when you layer on those geopolitical tensions. President Trump's team was apparently in the White House Situation Room, and he told reporters he wants a real end to Iran's nuclear program. There was even speculation about the U.S. potentially using bunker bombs on Iranian nuclear facilities.
Heavy stuff. Switching gears a bit, there was a spotlight on Surgery Partners, SGRY. Shares took a dive, down over 12%. What happened there?
Yeah, SGRY announced it concluded buyout discussions with Bain Capital without a deal. You might recall Bain, already a major shareholder, proposed buying the rest of the company for $25.75 a share back in January.
And SGRY decided they're better off independent?
That's the line. They cited strong Q1 performance, favorable surgical trends, and a bullish outlook on the regulatory landscape. They even downplayed concerns about Medicaid funding changes, saying their exposure is less than 5% of revenue. They reaffirmed their full-year 2025 guidance.
Interesting. So why the big drop if they're so confident?
Well, that $25.75 offer didn't have much of a premium to begin with. And perhaps the market is a bit surprised Bain didn't come back with a higher bid. That lack of a counter might be adding to today's slide.
Makes sense. Let's look at earnings. JBL, beat on earnings and revenue and guided August quarter EPS and revenue above consensus. That's a positive.
Yes, and Wiley WLY also had a beat and guided fiscal 26 EPS above estimates. But on the other side, as we mentioned, Lennar, Len missed by 13 cents, though revenues were a beat. They did provide an outlook.
And for tomorrow, what's on the earnings docket?
After the bell today, we're watching for La Z-Boy LZB. Then pre-market Wednesday, we have GMS and Corn Ferry, KFY. After hours, Wednesday, Smith & Wesson, SWBI. And looking ahead to Friday pre-market, a few big ones, Accenture ACN, CarMax KMX, Darden DRI, and Kroger KR.
All right, let's shift to the broader market sentiment from the WaveRider AI analysis. SPY and QQQ looked like they were in consolidation with some bearish pressure.
That's right. For SPY, the 30-minute intraday showed subtle consolidation, slight bearish pressure, with a moderate increase in volume, hinting at cautious trading. It declined from a high of 598.15 to 596.58. Short-term moving averages are hovering around the recent price, suggesting that consolidation with a mild downside bias.
And QQQ similar?
Very similar. Consolidation, some downward pressure, fluctuating between 529.65 and 527.95. Volume was relatively stable, no big explosive shifts, again indicating trader caution. Moving averages also near current prices.
Now, the VXX, the volatility index measure, showed some spikes towards the close, right? Increasing from 54.48 to 54.85.
It did, and that typically suggests an uptick in market volatility, potentially signaling heightened investor uncertainty. An increasing VXX often points to a risk-off sentiment. This is interesting because another piece of analysis we saw for SA Tuesday mentioned VXX declining and reinforcing a constructive backdrop.
So a bit of a contradiction there? How do we square that?
Well, the spike in VXX was noted towards the close, specifically. It's possible the SA Tuesday observation was looking at a broader trend during the day or an earlier easing before that late-day geopolitical flare-up really took hold. The end-of-day action definitely felt more nervous.
Okay, that makes sense. Sector-wise, the analysis pointed to XLY, Consumer Discretionary, and XLC, Communication Services, showing strength over the past 30 days, while defensive XLU, Utilities, and XLP, Consumer Staples, were sluggish. A possible rotation to cyclicals?
Potentially, yes. It could signal some risk on behavior, but with caution, especially given the economic and geopolitical uncertainties we've been discussing, the market seems to be in a show-me mode.
So key levels to watch for SPY?
Support is pegged around 596.00 and then 592.00. Resistance, if we can get a bounce, is around 600.00 and 605.00. These are derived from daily candlesticks and recent trading ranges.
And for QQQ?
Support at 527.00 and 525.00. Resistance at 530.00 and 535.00. Similar logic, these are recent highs and lows that could act as inflection points.
The SA Tuesday analysis also had a cautiously bullish stance despite some overbought signals, like the percentage of stocks over their 50-day moving average being bearishly overbought.
Yes, it's a mixed bag. The primary indicator was bullish, and the 20% weekly reading was bullish, but with a caution flag. The key takeaway there was to focus on tech and semiconductor stocks, showing strong volume and momentum, especially near support for potential continuation plays, but to use tight stops. and it highlighted KLAC for continuation and CW for an anticipation setup.
Let's dive into some of those specific stock ideas. The continuation breakout analysis pointed to Zscaler, ZS, CrowdStrike, CRWD, and Casey's General Stores, Casey. What's the thinking on ZS?
Zscaler, ZS, has shown a strong upward trend, backed by consistent volume. The analysis sees a price target of $308, potentially stretching to $315. Entry around $306, with a stop below $304. Cybersecurity remains a hot theme.
And CrowdStrike, CRWD? That one seems to pop up a lot.
It does. CRWD has momentum building on previous gains. The target here is $494, with a stretch to $500 if the trend strengthens. Entry around $490, stop below $486, another cybersecurity play benefiting from strong secular tailwinds.
Okay, and Casey's General Stores, Cassie? A bit different from the tech names.
Cassie offers more stability, stable closing prices, moderate volume. The initial price target is $508, with potential towards $515. Entry around $505, looking for a bounce at that psychological level, with a stop below $503. It's a consumer staples name, but showing some decent technicals.
Now for anticipation setups. CRWD was on that list again, but let's look at Netflix, NFLX.
NFLX is showing strong volume and upward momentum. The analysis anticipates a retest of 1,225.68, with a potential breakout towards 1230. Short-term target of 1235, extended to 1250. Possible entry around 1216.09, with a stop just below 1200.
Ulta Beauty, ULTA?
ULTA is showing persistent bullish candlestick patterns, expecting buying to push the price towards $475. First target $473, possible extension to $477.50. Optimum entry near $470.03, stop below $465. Consumer discretionary, but one that's holding up.
And Futu Holdings Futu?
FUTU's recent price action indicates strengthening support levels. Strong momentum could lift prices through 122.17. Short-term aim for 123.50, medium-term 125. Entry recommended around 120.58, stop near 119. A financial tech name with some buzz.
Great. Let's do some quick hits on upgrades and downgrades. Any notable ones?
On the upgrade side, Alkermes, Lex, to buy at UBS Comstock Resources, CRK, to outperform at Wolf, Cooper Companies, COO, to buy at Needham. And Roku, upgraded to buy at Loop Capital with a $100 target.
And downgrades?
A few there. Frontview REIT, FVR, cut to neutral at JP Morgan. Health Catalyst HCAT to neutral at BTIG, Navitas Semiconductor NVTS to hold at Deutsche Bank, and Nutrien, NTR, downgraded to market perform at Raymond James.
Lots of new initiations too. Coinbase, Coin, initiated with a buy at China Renaissance, target $353. Novavax, NVAX, initiated with a sell at Citigroup, target $6. SAP initiated overweight at Piper Sandler. Quite a bit of analyst activity.
Definitely. And Sarepta, SRPT, initiated with a peer perform at Wolf Research. That stock also saw some downgrades noted in the other report, so a mixed view there.
All right. Looking ahead to Wednesday's economic calendar. It's a big one, isn't it?
It certainly is. We get MBA mortgage applications at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Then at 8:30 a.m., initial and continuing jobless claims, plus May housing starts and building permits. EIA crude oil inventories at 10:30 a.m., natural gas inventories at noon.
And the main event?
The FOMC rate decision and summary of economic projections at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. That's going to be huge for market direction, especially after today's weak data and geopolitical jitters. We also get April net long-term tick flows at 4 p.m.
So, to wrap it all up, what are the key trader takeaways for tomorrow?
Well, the market is clearly on edge with these geopolitical developments. The weak economic data is a concern, but also feeds into hopes for Fed easing. Sector rotation is something to watch. Energy showed relative strength today, but tech and semis are still where many are looking for leadership. albeit with caution. The VIX is up, signaling nervousness.
And that FOMC decision tomorrow is the elephant in the room.
Absolutely. Traders need to be nimble, pay close attention to those key support and resistance levels we discussed, and be prepared for potential volatility around the Fed announcement. Manage risk, use stops, and don't fight strong trends if they emerge, but also be wary of overbought conditions.
Sound advice. It's going to be another interesting day. Thanks for breaking it all down.
You bet. Stay sharp out there.
That's all the time we have for Next Day Prep. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Good luck with your trading tomorrow.